Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Good answer. All right. Let's see. This is the Bergen Amateur Association Technical Net. It's a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the science and technology that underlies it all, the fun activities we've had and we'd like to have, things, as I said, we aspire to do, things we aspire to do again, things we want to never do again, and just general helps and hints. We also can post things for sale, for swap, or even wanted items, and we welcome you to do that. As I said, this net's a little bit different than others. It's a conversation, so we need you to check in, even if you have nothing to add, per se, because knowing who's there helps us structure the net. So, with no further ado, stations wishing to check in, whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha, should check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question or comment for sale, swap, or wanted item, or none of the above. As I said, we look forward to people checking in even if they don't think they have anything to add. So, moving right along, let's get that squared away. Stations with call sign beginning with Alpha. Please call K2BAR.
AC2T, Paul, Yonkers, New York. None of the above. Just be listening and standing by with a comment when you need one.
Okay, Paul, very good. Good evening to you. Any other Alphas? Okay, how about stations whose call signs begin with November? All right, how about stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey?
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Good evening, Don. We missed you. I was wondering if you were down for the count with some of that nasty flu, or maybe your wife was. All right, well, welcome with your comment. And are there any other stations with a whiskey call?
WI2LYP, Bill, just hanging out.
Good evening, Bill. Good to hear you as well. Any other whiskeys?
W2LCN, the name is Rick with one comment.
Okay, Rick, very good. When you get a chance, would you just text me the address for Saturday? That would be helpful. And I got your comment posted. And are there any other whiskeys?
W2CH, Tanet. Ray with a comment. Good evening.
Whiskey to Juliet Charlie.
Whiskeys.
Whiskey to Juliet Charlie. None of the above. Over.
Good evening, Jim. Who is the station of double with JC?
Whiskey India 2 Whiskey. Steve. No questions or comments.
Okay, good evening, Steve. Good to hear you. All right, any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township, with about four comments.
Okie doke. Hi, Randy. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys? Okay, let's go to the Kilo 2s.
2 EIR. No comments, no questions, none of the above, and a very good evening.
Okay, good evening, Howie. All right, are there any other Kilo 2?
K2AMI, Tony, with a couple of comments about future Barra events.
Excellent, Tony, we got you covered. Any other Kilos? Kilo 2s, pardon me. All other Kilos, it's your turn.
KD2DDK, listening.
Good evening, Gary. All right, any other Kilos? Wait, one all, standby.
KD2CWW, just listening.
I'm sorry, standby one, folks, for just acquiring some modest refreshments here. All right, so last one I have in here was KDDDDK. Who followed? All right, who's next? Okay, any other check-ins for the net?
KD2CWW, Chris, just listening.
Good evening, Chris. All right, so KD2CWW was the last one in. Who's next now? Alrighty, are there any other stations to check in the net without going to Echo Link? The Echo Link will be next. Alrighty, then let's get to it. Mr. Don, it's all yours, W2JEK, K2BAR.
K2BAR, W2JEK, good evening everybody. Announced that the February Barra VE test session will be on Friday, February 21st, 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. Test fee is still $15. You are licensed, bring your license and a copy of that license. And we need ID, like a driver's license or a passport or two forms of non-photo ID. And if you bring in the calculator, we have to, we'll assume that, we'll check that there's nothing stored in the memory. Other devices such as iPads, cell phones, etc. may not be used as a calculator, even though they might have such a function. So I think that about wraps it up. And yeah, I was on a net, I think, or a contest the other night, so maybe that's why you missed me. Yeah, Thursday, it was a Thursday night that was before the was a 160-meter QRP sprint before the CQ Worldwide 160 contest. That's why you missed me, Gordon. Back to net, W2JEK.
What a great idea. A tune-up Thursday night before the big contest. That's great. That is super. Alrighty, very good, Don. Anybody have any comments or questions for Don regarding the upcoming test sessions or licensing in general? Hey, Don, I just want to report to you on the net that one of the scouts who passed their test back in December at the test session that the Barra team was gracious enough to conduct has applied for a vanity call and is anxiously working on an upgrading to his general, amazingly enough. So this will be the first general I have coming in. Lord knows, the first vanity. So that's pretty cool. Not the first scout. Well, actually, I had a scout who was in my troop, but he was a good friend of, you know, Whiskey 2, Victor. Picked VVV because I was Tango, but this other scout has picked something else in that kind of different pattern, but all good. Alrighty. Thank you, Don. Any final words?
No, nothing else, Gordon. Just listening in for the rest of the time here. Back to that, W2JEK.
That's super. Very good, Don. And next one is K2AMI with Barra now. K2BAR. K2AMI, K2BAR, on 955, please. Actually, I just heard him transmit on 79. Hold on. Yeah, what's the problem? All right. One more time. K2AMI, K2BAR. All righty. Let's go to W2LCN real quick with one comment while we wait for... We'll come back to Tony. K2BAR.
All right. Thank you, Gordon. Let me just make sure I got it. Okay, this is W2LCN. The comment I have was this afternoon, actually it started a couple of days ago, my son and I were talking about a jewel ringer, a circuit that I guess oscillates back and forth and bumps up a 1.5-volt battery up high enough to light up an LED, and it stays lit for a considerable amount of time because it only needs about 0.35 volts to run through this circuit to bump the power up high enough to light the LCD. Well, I started to put this all together, and I came up with a problem. I did not have a toroid. So I looked around, and I had pretty much scavenged everything that was in my house. And then it actually it dawned on me because my 5-year-old son came up and said, hey Dad, what about those old phones? Because I kind of decommissioned a couple of office phones because I'm supposed to be picking up the new ones on Saturday. And he said, what about those old ones? Do you think we got a toroid in there? So he said, what the heck? I popped one open and sure enough, the thing was loaded with toroids on the inside of them. I got about 4 of them out of them. And the project was a success. So I just thought it was funny that a 5-year-old picked up that we could take the parts out of the inside of a phone to look for a toroid of all things. And I just thought it was kind of great to know that he's getting that experience for the most part from the ham radio community and the excitement in the electronics. So I just wanted to pass that out to you guys because it was a cool little moment when my 5-year-old surpassed me in figuring out how to get these little components out of something. So this is W2LCN. I'll send it back to Ned.
Well, get used to it, Dad, because you're on the road to being stupid for the next, say, 20 years or so.
Yeah, that's true. It's just every now and then he comes up with these things and he says, hey, you know, because this wasn't a phone that I had taken offline yet. I had said, okay, I'm going to stop using these things, but I still had it upstairs sitting on my end table in my room. And he says, Dad, you know, you're not going to use that, right? And I said, yeah, well, no, we're not. He says, why don't we see if we can pop that thing open? I said, oh, that's terrific. Just, it's great. Very exciting to see him realize that there's electrical components in some plastic thing that we use to make phone calls, and we might be able to do more than just make phone calls with them. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. I was very excited about that, but I figured I'd throw that out there this evening.
My one question is, has he seen the inside of a phone before?
No, and that's the funny part. He's never seen the inside. He has no idea about how any of these components work other than a description of what a component is and where you would find them, but I've never mentioned anything about these phones.
Well, that's great. So you just assume electronics might have toroids. Open it up, let's see.
The best part was he pointed out the phone, and as soon as I opened it up, I saw one of the toroids just standing there looking right in my face that had about 12 wraps of a very thin gauge wire around it, and it was the size I needed, the number of turns I needed, everything was on it with a couple little leads sticking off it. I said this was about as good as I could get, but I showed it to him. He was like, oh, that's great, good, get to work. You know, he wasn't as thrilled as I was that he found these things. He was like, yeah, see, I told you.
See, I told you you'd get stupid.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the 3-year-old to pick up with this and start to identify the right and wrong. So this day, now all the kids like to, every tower they see, they want me to point it out and hit it with the repeater and key it up and try and get some kind of a response out of it. So it's a blessing and a curse, you know. I can't drive down a highway without, Dad, look, there's a tower. I'm like, yeah, that's not for, yeah, just hit it. Just make it beep.
That's marvelous, make the tower beep. That's great. All right, very good. Well, now the 3-year-old, the daughter, right?
No, another boy. The 8-month-old is the daughter. And then I got the 3-year-old that's going to be 4 and a 5-year-old that's going on 6.
Okay. I wish the daughter just rolled her eyes and said, Dad, come on. Anyway, I'm a savvy little girl, so you'll melt like an ice cream sundae on an August day. All right. Very good. Anybody have any comments for Rick? Rick, where can you find Taurus?
2AMI, testing.
Beginning of that transmission.
Okay, very good. Tony, go ahead.
Hey, Doubleman, Rick. You want to go back to Rick? First, am I okay now? And you can pick me up if I'm okay.
Yeah, you're okay. We'll come back to you. Go ahead, Rick.
No, just the beginning of that transmission. I wasn't sure if that was someone coming back with a question. I'll send it back over to you. This is W2LCN to KQVAR.
Alrighty. Very good. That's very good. Alrighty. Tony, so over to you, KQVAR.
Hey, I hope I'll hold up this time. I had to reduce my power. For some reason, the power supply isn't holding it. Anyway, I just want to point out, of course, this Sunday, which is the first Sunday of the month, is now the Super Bowl Sunday and not the Barra meeting. And next Sunday, which is the 9th of February, is the Barra meeting, for the monthly meeting. You're all are welcome. It's over at the Westwood, Washington Township Borough Hall in Washington Township, just off Pascack Road. And follow through on that, in that in March, normally we have the first Sunday of March to be our Barra meeting, but that's being postponed because there's a Limark Hamfest on that day. And we're going to postpone our auction to the following week again, which is the 9th. So both Sundays that are the 9th, both in February and March, will be our Barra meetings. And, of course, the March 9th meeting will be the Barra auction. It's a lot of fun. It starts at noontime on Sunday the 9th. And details on our Barra website, www.barra.org. Get your dates squared away and your appointment squared away and come to the Barra auction. Back to Ned.
That's always good. I like that. All right, well, God willing, we'll see you at the auction. And I know that Rachel had asked Carl if we could do a demo and talk at a Barra meeting on mesh networking. I'm going to assume that will not be before April, which will be fine, because I'm sure this month's meeting is already planned, and March is, as you said, the auction. Am I correct with that assumption, to your knowledge, Tony?
I have no knowledge of scheduling of programs. I'm sorry. Nico is generally in charge of that, or possibly Rachel.
Okay. You're very good. Yes, I know it's the vice president's job, but I think Rachel has that in her queue. All right, very good. Anybody have any questions for Tony? Okay, very good. Thanks, Tony. W2CH, Ray, over to you, K2BAR.
Yes, K2BAR. Good evening, Gordon and Annette. I just want to mention a couple of things from one of the clubs we belong to, the Peekskill Cortland Amateur Radio Association, has an update newsletter. The February issue, if you go to pecara.org, we had about the Cub Scout Pack on Friday, January 24th, at the Furnacewood School up there in Cortland Manor, had a demonstration of amateur radio, which was quite successful to them. And I know you're involved with the Scouts, so I thought I'd mention it to you. And we were not there from here in White Plains since we've moved back, but we're still active with that club and also with the WECA here. And also I had an article in there from our visit the end of December when we were in Puerto Rico to Arecibo, which was in a couple of movies. I think it's quite well known and has been in QST and some amateur involvement. As a matter of fact, in November I did work the station there. I think it was KP4AO for a certificate in QSL for their 50th anniversary of Arecibo since it was established. So those were my couple of just comments of activities there that were in the newsletter, and one thing that the club did with the Scouts there is our, one of our activities for ham radio. So back to NetK2VAR, W2CH.
Okay, very good. Well, a couple of things. One, if you want to send me a link to the Cortland Radio Club newsletter, if it's online, that'd be great. Love to see the proceeds of their work with their local Cub Scouts. That's wonderful. And number two, I'm wondering if you have pictures of your Arecibo trip, and what do they afford you in the way of a tour when you get there?
Yes, I do. I do have pictures, Gordon, which I had forwarded to newsletter to editor, and he used a few, and then some from the movies. You know, it was in GoldenEye and also in the Contact movie, both back in the mid to late 90s. And I can certainly forward them to you. I don't know if it's your call at AOL.net or a specific address. Yes, if you just go to
www.pcara.org, you can look up the newsletters, and that's our address, our website. And as far as the tour, yes, we took a bus trip which included some other caves in the morning, and this was the afternoon part because it's about an hour and a half in San Juan. There were over 20 people on a mid-sized bus, so we had a full day trip with the other part, and there was a bit of a climb up a hill, walking paved hill, to a building where there was a bit of a film, and then you're on the observation deck. You don't actually visit the equipment or where they do the experiments, but you look over the dish and the antennas and could take pictures. We had limited time after we got our armbands. We didn't even spend much time in the exhibit center to go see the video. But it was quite exciting, especially as amateurs for, you know, Marilyn and I. And there was a tour guide to ask questions, and then back with the bus. So that was the extent of it from the time we had there, Gordon.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, that's just super. It sounds like a great thing. I do know that people have visited there and pull a string or two and don't get to, you know, just be stuck with the visitor center in the movie and to look over the rim at things. They get a more substantial tour, but I'll say that's pretty impressive. On any scale, it's very impressive. So congratulations. And the Putnam County Amateur Radio Association, PCARA, I'll look at their website when I get home. All righty. Any questions for Ray? All righty. Very cool. Thank you, Ray, for that, and much appreciated. Randy, over to you, WU2S, K2BAR. And we'll take care of the Saturday trip, and I'll swing by your house there when we're done with the visit to Cranford.
Okay. Thank you, Gordon, and good evening to everyone on the net. This is Randy, WU2S. I've got a number of comments to make this evening. And if I get too long-winded, just let me know and I'll shut the heck up. But the first thing I wanted to comment on is a radio-related item. Not necessarily technical, but I think humorous, and it may be of some interest to those of you who haven't heard of it. There's a there was, a long time ago, in the mid-90s, a radio program that used to play on Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. The radio program was called The Great Eastern, a cultural magazine of Newfoundland. And if you look up The Great Eastern Radio Show in Wikipedia, you can get a little history of it. And there's a fellow called, I believe, George Porter, gporter.net, who hosts the archives for all the radio shows. And I'd encourage you to listen to one or two of these because it's some of the funniest radio humor that I think I've ever heard, and I commend them to you. Back to K2BAR.
So the Great Eastern and gporter.com, you said?
Gporter.net. Again, if you look up Great Eastern Radio Show in Wikipedia, you'll get the background and the links to it.
Well, yeah, you know, being a hockey fan, I've come to appreciate that almost every newfie is a strange duck, and if you lived in Newfoundland, you'd understand why. I'd never been there. My youngest brother and my parents went there once, so, I was away in college, and I didn't get to go on that trip, but I would have loved to see that. They also went up to the Bay of Fundy and all sorts of other things. But so very good. So the Great Eastern Radio Show on Wikipedia, and then find the link to the archive site, and away you go. Very nice. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Okay, very good. Well, I think it's entirely appropriate
And I'm sure a couple of us are already, I mean, I'm driving, so I can't really do it now, but a couple of us will and have already probably typed that, and probably lost a couple of people to the net because of that. But that's all good. Excellent. Thank you, Randy. What's next?
Next on my list is I recently set up a website where I intend to memorialize some of my quirky observations and opinions such as they are, as well as observations and results of experiments and that. And I got it up and running, and you're certainly all welcome to go ahead and take a look at it and comment, if you will, or contribute when I set up some of the capability of allowing people to store files up there from some of the things we're working on. So it's WU2S.com, and I think one of the nice features about it is that it's also mobile ready. So for those of you that prefer to access websites via your smartphone or just do it as a matter of convenience, you can go ahead to the same site and it'll recognize that you're on a mobile device and reformat the display slightly so that it appears useful there. And we'll be logging a lot of the things that I'm doing with Raspberry Pis and the broadband hamnet that I'll talk about next on the website. Back to K2BAR.
Yeah, and advertise them on like the Comtech group and things like that. Probably would want to take a second to point that out. We have a Yahoo group called Comtech group. It's, shall we say, club agnostic. It's for everybody. And it's a lot of good way to just throw a question out there to people who are likely to know during the week and can help you out. And pointing to, resources such as Randy's web server where he's going to have all sorts of archives. That's probably a lot more efficient than using Yahoo group the Yahoo group file structure and systems. Probably a lot more convenient, so we'll just reference links to Randy's web server and away we go. Alrighty, anybody have any questions on Randy's server? Okay, if one comes up later, that's fine. Take that and also the Comtech group. But Comtech group is one word. Comtech group, all one word on Yahoo groups. Alrighty. Randy, what's your next subject?
Well, the next subject is the project that we've been spending a lot of time on with folks here in the area, with Gordon, of course, and Carl, Rick, Gary, and several other folks, and that's the new broadband hamnet. This is using the Ubiquiti wireless access point equipment, and we've been having a great time with all of that. The stuff works really well. It's possible to get much longer distances for the links between nodes using the Ubiquiti equipment on the order of several miles under the right conditions and the right altitude of the access points. But it's people are already doing it. There's a couple of fellas, I believe in Texas, that are getting has one, at least one link that I think he claimed to be 13 miles, if I remember that correctly. Of course, that was a pretty high gain antenna that he was using with her pair of antennas. But certainly you can get more than a few hundred feet out of these things, like we're lucky to do with a Linksys box. They're also very competitively priced. They're not much more than twice the cost of a used Linksys box. And better than that, this is brand new equipment, very powerful, and it's weatherproof, and you don't have to worry about packaging. So very exciting developments with the broadband hamnet. There's going to be a posting from the group, I believe, on Monday announcing the changes, including our participation in tests. And Gordon is doing a presentation Monday night at the Wayne Library at 7 p.m., the Wayne Main Library. Back to K2BAR.
Yeah, not only that, but I'm coming with friends, which is a wonderful thing. And thank you, Randy, Rick, Gary, and missing somebody. See, Rick, Gary. Oh, I'm sorry, Carl. Brain dead. For helping with that. That should be pretty exciting. Lord only knows. Actually, once you get done with boosting up power from a Linksys box and weatherproofing it, doing all the packaging, a Linksys box in the raw, unless you're doing a lot of other things with it, is actually more expensive than the Ubiquiti. The real trick is the Ubiquiti's have only one or two ports. So, it again, depends on how you're deploying it and with what you're going to deploy it. So it all works out. In fact, what may be a future purpose for some Linksys boxes might be to make them wireless access points and also to make use of the physical ports and put them back to back with a Ubiquiti router, which is providing the long haul, and that would be quite a combination too. So there's a role for the Linksys boxes. You don't have to treat them as you may be able to package them more simply, and not have to worry about amplification and things like that. All right, Randy, and by the way, I was dumbstruck when I looked at the actual list of who the support group was and realized that the five of us were about 40% of the team.
I was a bit surprised by that too, but also very happy that we were able to contribute to it and of course plan on continuing to contribute to the development in this area for the net. When we got together yesterday evening, we did some more tests and experimenting and banging our head against the wall at various points, but we're making progress. But we also uncovered a few new bugs that we're going to be reporting into the development group, and so that's what they're looking for, since there are surprisingly few people working on this. I mean, I know we're quite astonished that the development staff is extremely tiny, and yet has accomplished an enormous amount in a very short time with these Ubiquiti access points, and it's really a great thing. And so I'd encourage everyone to take a very close look at it, participate, if not in the development, participate in test deployments, and again, as Gordon mentioned, all the folks that are working in the area here, we stand ready to support all of you. Of course, all of you here on the net generally have the advantage in that you're all in close physical proximity, so we're there. We can stand over your shoulder as you're doing things or ask questions, and, or you can reach out to us here on the net or the websites, the ComTech group, and get your support, which is why we're here for that. So please give a thought to participating or at least taking a look at it. Come out to the presentation in Wayne next Monday evening, learn a little bit more, and enjoy another aspect of amateur radio. WU2S, back to K2BAR.
Absolutely, and thank you, Randy, for being such a ball of energy and intellect and accomplishment as part of this. You know, the rest of us have day jobs, but and you actually have a day job too, as a bit of a caregiver, and so on the other hand, you'll find ways to get it done. And I even have Carl shaking his head going, how did you build that? How did you have time? It's like, well, you kind of make the time. You know, we have the Super Bowl on Sunday, so, you know, I'll be cleaning up PowerPoints and testing out mesh nodes in my front room and my dining room while we keep the view of the television clear so that we can, I guess, take in the Broncos win over the Seahawks. We'll kind of go from there. Not that I care about football. I really don't, but it's okay. Whatever. As long as the Broncos win and the Seahawks lose with the world. Again, I don't care about football. I don't care if they play monkey ball. But given that collection of players and the other collection of players, it's pretty obvious to me. I don't care what game they play. It's just, that's the right team to win and that's the right team to lose. Anyway, end of politics. Oh, I'm sorry, that's sports. Oh, that's like politics. Randy, any more? Save me for myself. W2SJQBAR.
Yes, thank you. Just one last related item is that one of the things that we've been experimenting with fairly regularly and with increasing intensity and interest relative to the broadband hamnet is setting up and using Raspberry Pi computers, these little $40 computers, as servers of various sorts, and we did some interesting experiments yesterday. I've got, and I believe Rick as well, have Raspberry Pis set up as actually a PBX for a voice over IP phone system, and that in itself is pretty darn fascinating. So we're only at the sort of early stages of that. We haven't gotten the thing working as a system yet end to end, but I don't think we're too far away from that. So that's going to be a quite amazing development. But then there's also web servers that you can run on the Raspberry Pi. There are IRC or chat, you know, keyboard chat servers that you can run, and a number of other things. And we're starting to come up with more or less standard or easily deployable configurations for Raspberry Pi. As these things get a little more stabilized in the next few weeks, in the coming months, I'll be posting images of these on my website, and folks will be able then to download an image and burn it to an SD card, pop it into a Raspberry Pi, and just power it up and have at it and get going. You have the basic server all configured. Just like I did for some of the broadband hamnet, wrote some installation instructions, I'll also try and be reasonably diligent about writing some basic installation and configuration instructions for each of the images I post. Because I know from personal experience that one of the big things that trips up a lot of folks is, what do I do after I've downloaded this image? I'm not entirely sure what's supposed to happen next. So I'll certainly do my best effort to answer those basic questions. And if I don't, please prod me. Give me a jingle or email me and tell me, hey, you know, I need a little help here, or it'd be a great idea if you kind of gave us some guidance about how to get started, and with your encouragement, I'll certainly do that. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to K2BAR.
WA2UMP with a question.
Go ahead.
K2EIR with a question.
In order, Jim, and then, what do you call it?
Yeah, good evening. This is Jim and Pearl River signing in late. Gordon, I wonder if you could tell us the time and date. I know you mentioned Monday night was your presentation. Could you elaborate just a bit on the presentation for us?
Sure. It's a presentation on mesh networking with live gear. We'll have some PowerPoint slides, not too many. I figure I'd walk people through stuff and, you know, have one of the computers run that's on the net on the projector. So that'll work. And let's say if we have chat, internet relay chat, and a few other functions that we're going to be doing. It is at the Wayne Public Library. Now, Wayne, New Jersey has two public libraries. This is the main library on Valley Road, and we will start at 7 p.m. So parking lot's kind of large, and Valley Road, if you miss a turn, it's actually divided, so you actually have to go, depending on which direction you're coming from. If you're coming, I guess, it's westbound or from Hamburg Turnpike, you're on the road. If you're coming from, Riverview Drive or whatever it is from the other side, coming up from 46, you're on the wrong side of the road, and it's just a nuisance to get to, so, you know, leave yourself time for that, and then there's the parking lot. Then just figuring out where in the complex is the dang library. There's all sorts of other municipal facilities. It's quite an enterprise, so, you know, just keep that in mind. And but we both start at 7 o'clock sharp in one of the meeting rooms in that library on Valley Road. Over.
Good. Thank you. WA2UMP.
Alrighty. Howie, you're next.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question about VoIP over this mesh network. For about 6-7 years now, I've been using as my home telephone regular phone plugged into a VoIP telephone adapter, and of course service is provided by a service provider who has the asterisk server. I'm just curious how I might interface with, say, the mesh network that you guys have with my telephone adapter and telephone here, you know, if I was to get Ubiquiti equipment or, you know, whatever, would it take that? I know you, so far you've done stuff with SIP phones, but maybe you could address the telephone adapter. K2EIR.
Okay. Well, Howie, a couple of things. From a technical viewpoint, the telephone adapter is potentially, you know, usable on the mesh. Here's the real question. You have admin rights. Can you reconfigure your analog telephone adapter or ATA?
Well, the present adapter I'm using, I got from the provider. I got tired of being the administrative mind and then being told that, you know, whenever something didn't work and I just couldn't keep up with it technically because of lack of time. But for the first 2 years or 3 years I had service, I was doing everything. I had administrative rights. I bought my own telephone adapter and so forth. So now I have two adapters, and I could use one for, you know, mesh purposes.
Yeah, well, assuming it's SIP-based, and the like, yeah, there's no reason why not. So, let me get this straight. You have an analog telephone adapter that you used to administer, and you have a new one that they provide, that they administer, and they talk to an asterisk server. That's the provider's PBX?
Yeah, I'm not even sure if the second one's provided by them or me, but I had them take over the stuff. I seem to think I bought two. I remember I had two boxes, but maybe one belongs to them. You know, it's been so long I don't remember. But I definitely have one that belongs to me, K2EIR.
Pretty. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So, yeah, you probably could configure it. You'd probably have to know, you know, what the server ID is. And if you look at the RASP PBX, RASP Papa Bravo X-ray, and go look at the installation or admin guide, you'll probably be able to then figure out what the corresponding parameters are on the TA that you have that's available for administration.
Well, there's some stuff I can look up through the what they call the control panel server. And I know there's a place where it lists a lot of the parameters that you would set up a SIP phone for, so there's stuff like that. Offline, you know, by email, I'll send you some stuff. K2EIR.
There may be some issues with interacting with the live service and the SIP phone over the RMesh. Not saying it can't be done, but there may be issues that have to be worked out, so do consider that as well. And at some level, you have to also kind of think about that if your service is being done, if your mesh service is being done as an amateur construct, then you have to behave a certain way. If it's being done as a part of your team construct, and you just don't use the SSID of broadband hamnet V1, and you pick something else, like PowiNet or something, then you're allowed to build a mesh network of anything you want and conduct yourself any way you want as long as it meets the Part 15 requirements. And then you don't have any constraints over what the traffic is.
Okay. Well, I have to say a lot of this feels very vague to me. That's why I asked the question in the first place, whether I could use a telephone adapter with your stuff and to what extent. Presumably, if you were making calls from a SIP phone, maybe from one ubiquity to another, I could do the same thing with a telephone adapter. After all, here, the telephone adapter plugs into the router. K2EIR.
Yeah, with an internet gateway, that's not really a problem. What bothers me is the control panel. Is the control panel hosted on the DATA, or is it hosted in a web service somewhere in the cloud, and then it goes out and talks to your analog telephone adapter to, teach it some tricks?
Well, the control panel is definitely part of their Asterisk server, and it's definitely up there, not here. But, there must be 600 parameters that I can set inside the telephone adapter, there's a web interface for that too, but that's all local. So there are things there. Again, the interfaces of these things can get very, very complicated. I just was floored by the number of parameters inside the telephone adapter.
Oh, sure. Is there a way you could send me a link to that provider and also to how I would acquire the a compatible telephone adapter? And that way we could take a look at it and see if we can either A, integrate it, or B, use it standalone?
Yeah, sure. I intend to. And it may be a few days because I'm still facing personal problems with care of my mother-in-law. The telephone adapter itself is a Linksys, and it was a fairly popular model, although I don't remember what it is. I'd have to turn the unit upside down and look at the label. But it's a Linksys Cisco telephone adapter, and I like the service very much, but I don't like to publicize it over the air because I don't want my system hacked or their system hacked. It's been working very well for me for 6 years now, and what it offers me I can't find anywhere else, and I think it's just absolutely terrific. I get rid of a lot of telephone spam. I'm taking up too much net time. I do have another question if I can remember it again, but right now I don't, so come back to me later. K2EIR.
Okay, we'll come back to the sub-question of Randy's stuff. Okay, Randy, back to you, W2S, K2EIR.
Thanks, Gordon, and great question, Howie. I know that's going to provoke some more discussion and probably experimenting, so thanks for bringing that up. That's it for me this evening, Gordon. Quite a long list, but it's been a very busy week, and I'm happy to be able to share it with everyone. WU2S, back to net control.
Okay, very good. Anybody else have any questions or comments on this topic? All righty, very good. Let's see. All right, a couple of things, just for general interest. I will not be at Fairlawn tomorrow. Nancy's off, and we thought we were going to go do something, and yeah, we are. Unfortunately, we're going to a friend's wake, so that's how that works sometimes. Number one, and number two, Rick, I can be, I'm assuming 10 o'clock we will be in Cranford on Saturday morning, so we'll just plan it accordingly. That actually works well for my household if it works well for yours. And you can text me that response if you're listening. All right, let's see what else. All right, anybody else with any other topics? Howie, I have you as the next one. Anybody else? All righty, K2EIR, K2BAN, and up.
Very good. Good timing, because I remembered my question. nothing really ComTech, but it is tech, and this group has been so helpful to me in the past. I'm going to ask the question. I have a Garmin GPS. I don't remember the model, but it has a limited amount of built-in memory, and a while back I got a map update, and when I did that, instead of having the whole country, I just had the northeast, and basically it's the situation if I add an SD card of some sort, it adds more memory and I can get the whole country. So the question is, can I just, has anyone had experience going to a local store to get a less expensive SD card than sending away to Garmin for their assuredly compatible SD card? So that's the information I'm after. K2EIR.
Okay, number one, I think you can you pay for a download, or you've already paid for it, as the case may be, and can download the maps into an SD card that you have. Do you like to does yours come with an unlimited or does it come with that nationwide map for free, in which case you can just, you know, give them the serial number of your device and magically, you know, download the file and then upload it to your device, or do you have to pay for it explicitly? And don't you have an SD card that's big enough for it? In which case, what size do you need?
Yeah, I can. I get the free service, you know, for as long as they provide it. You may have noticed there's a proviso. It isn't really forever until they want to stop. You know, when their provider doesn't provide it to them or something like that. And I don't have any idea about the SD card. I haven't read the docs, you know, in detail. My life, in general, this is always seems to be my excuse for the last few years, is that I'm just overloaded. I don't have the time to just read the way I used to, so I don't solve my own technical problems anymore.
Okay, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you at least, you know, put out to the ComTech group your model number and say, reference that you have an account, and, you know, which map set you'd like to download, and, you know, how big an SD card do you need for it. And, you know, the rest of us can go bird dog that. Someone will go get that answer for you.
82DDK.
See?
Yeah. I got it, Gordon.
You have it.
North America Garmin map for the Nuvo 1100s. 295s and everything runs about 3.5 gig. A 4 gig card would be fine as far as I know. I've used 4 gig cards. The cheap ones from Micro Center work fine. Maybe they're a little slow, but I don't notice it. I've played with them for quite a few years now. I have a pile of them. I got so many of them, I give them away. You know that.
Yeah, I mean, if Gary doesn't have a 4-gig card to spare, I've got one that you can have.
That's okay. Okay, it's probably easier for me to go to Microcenter here in my county, this side of the river. I know right where they are and buy it. Even better would be if I can go to Best Buy. It might be worth a dollar or two more not to have to travel quite as far distance for me, you know, the convenience aspect. I just didn't know what to buy.
Howie?
Go ahead.
You may want to think about maybe an 8-gig card, and I'll tell you why. If you go out just in Google on the web for Garmin Maps, you're not going to get their official map, but you can get all sorts of other USGA topo maps, maritime maps. There's a lot of stuff out there that you can just put on your card and have in case you like hiking or biking or something along those lines. Garmin will recognize these odd maps and ask you which map you want to use. You know, you can have an automatic default and you can go into the menu and then choose other maps. And this is all providing, whatever particular unit you have. But most of the Nuvo units or most of the units with the SD cards will accept these different map types.
Okay, so that's 32 in. Say again, Gordon.
Based on his logic about other maps being available, I think I'd buy a 32 or maybe settle for a 16.
Yeah, if I remember what 16s cost, they're negligibly more. In fact, sometimes I think it's harder to find anything less than 16, if memory serves me right, so that's probably what I'll aim for.
Yeah, and Gary alluded to this. You know, in a GPS, you're just not going to have the sense of urgency over things and quite the real-time storage. I mean, yeah, can you store a lot of data? Sure you can. But you're not going to be doing that a lot. So you don't have to get an expensive one. You don't have to get like a Class 10 SD card you can sell for something less.
Okay. And I can always use it. It's the same size with my digital camera.
Again, it'll set up a DSIM directory and away you go.
Knew I came to the right place. K2EIR.
If you want to experiment,
hey.
There's all sorts of software out there where you can scan in your own map to a scanner and then, you know, go to that area of your map and geolocate it and pin it. And you can pin maps together, and there's software to do it. Example would be maybe your favorite Hallstrom's map that you keep in the car, and you'd have different places pinned in or something. You can scan in all those pages and then pin them together and lock them down, and you'll have them in your Garmin. All sorts of crazy stuff out there if you like experimenting.
Yeah, I don't have the time to experiment. By the way, you've got a woodpecker-type motorboating accompanying your signal. K2EIR.
Okay, Howie, thanks. We're good.
Okay, very good. Anybody else have any questions on this? Okay, anybody want to add to it? Well, thank you, Gary, for your insights. That's very, very good. That's downright splendid. Alrighty. Do we have anything more for that tonight? All right, then. Well, I'm going to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater. I do want to point out that the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club dinner is... Actually, it's not a dinner. It's a brunch. It's a champagne brunch for $32, no less. And it's going to take place on also February 9th at 11 o'clock in the morning at the 1776 House. And... since it's one of our sister clubs that's been gracious enough to let us use their repeater, you might consider joining the club, and if you're not sure if you like to or not, it's kind of a different flavor than Barra. It's more social, and although it's hard to be more social than Barra, but its focus is, it's purely social, really, to keep the repeater going, and the odd technical and useful public service project. But you're welcome to come, and
you do need to get advance notice